So, as I was preparing for today, I learned some interesting things that gave me a little bit different perspective. This text appears every single Lent. The first Sunday of Lent, we hear this text about Jesus being tempted. And I don't know, it's always sat a little bit funny with me. It's always made me feel kind of a little itchy, I guess. So I read a few things, I learned a few things that I want to share with you as we ponder this text. The first is this word tempt. So temptation in our context, in English, has a lot to do with our appetites for things that bring us pleasure, right? And that fits the popular tradition that the devil is thought of, one who tempts human beings into sin. That's kind of the norm that we think. The devil is going to tempt us with something and draw us into sin. But if we look back to the Greek language, and I didn't do this, I relied on some Greek scholars. Greek is not, I do not know that as my second language, I swear. So the word that's translated as tempt is parazomenios. And actually, a better translation would be the word test. So that means that verse would read, Jesus was tested by the devil. Okay, so we've got test and we've got tempt, okay? And now, let's challenge this really common understanding that we have about the devil tempting human beings into sin. And again, we're going to go back to the Greek translation. This word I can actually say, diablos. And it's in today's text, it's translated as devil. But if you look back into the book of Job, the very same Greek word is translated as Satan. So if we consider that, the devil is testing Jesus just as Satan was testing Job. And that would mean that the devil is carrying out this divinely ordained role of testing, not tempting, right? When we change our lens from tempting to testing, the devil is the tester, right? Not the tempter. So it follows that the devil is not this power that stands over and against God, leading people astray. The devil is an entity serving its role of testing the resilience of God's creation. Okay? I know that was a lot to take in, so tempting, testing, and I'm sorry, I have to get a drink or I'm going to start coughing. And then this understanding that the devil is not simply an entity that's going to lead us away from God or lead us towards sin. There's more to it than that. So if we think of those two things, then that begs the question, who's being tempted and what are tested and what is being tested? Who and what are being tested? Well, it's pretty obvious. Jesus is the one being tested. And we know that Jesus is the Son of God because God declared that at his baptism, right? This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased. The test isn't if he's the Son of God, but how he will in his use his divine authority and power. In other words, Jesus' vocation as the Son of God is being tested. And there are three tests, right? The first test, Jesus is famished, 40 days of fasting, turn this stone into bread. Jesus goes back to Deuteronomy and says, it's written, one does not live by bread alone. The second test is to rule all the kingdoms of the world. And again, Jesus responds from Deuteronomy, worship the Lord your God and serve only God. And the third test is just throw himself right off that pinnacle of the temple because he's going to be saved by God's angels, right? But Jesus says, do not put the Lord your God to the test. So these three tests that Jesus faces in the wilderness, they are like a to recall the testing of the people of Israel in the wilderness. So 40 days of testing for Jesus, 40 years for Israel, but there's a very significant contrast. Israel was not always faithful, and therefore they did not pass the test satisfactorily. Jesus, on the other hand, completed his time of testing, remaining true to his vocation as a son of God. By refusing to follow the testing of the devil, Jesus remained faithful to the vocation that was given to him at his baptism. And if you look at all three of those tests, you'll see that they have one thing in common. All of them are about having unequaled power on earth, providing food in abundance, reigning over all the kingdoms of the world, and being capable of demonstrating that he is invincible, that nothing can harm him. Again, earthly power. Jesus was obedient to the path that he was set on in his baptism by John at the Jordan River. And Luke tells us that the devil departs from Jesus until an opportune time. Okay, so the devil departs waiting for an opportune time. So that means that neither the devil nor Jesus, neither one of them compromised. The devil just leaves, hoping to get another opportunity, right? It's all or nothing. And that's kind of what it is like for us. When we make our choice, when we are tested, we can follow Jesus, we can follow the devil, but it's 100% one way or the other, to choose God's way, to choose our vocations. It's not a shared lordship. So as followers, we get tested concerning our baptismal vocation, which you may ask, what is my baptismal vocation? You are the beloved children of God, and you are called to share God's word and God's love, kindness, and mercy with everyone you see and meet. That is your vocation, right? You might have a job, too, but your vocation is as a beloved child of God. Through baptism, we are called to be obedient and to serve God alone. But as our faith is tested, and it will be all the time from our birth until our death, sometimes we are going to fail. But if you'll remember, Israel also didn't do so great on the testing sometimes, but God was faithful. So even though we fail, God remains faithful. And now let's consider what all this means about Lent. So I grew up in the Catholic tradition, as many of you know, so it was really common. We'd give up chocolate. That was a biggie, right, for us kids and some adults too. We give up chocolate. And we tried to face our temptation, right? We had to have our willpower to not eat that chocolate. But let's consider that maybe Lent is more about how we're living into our vocation as God's beloved children. Maybe the questions we should ask ourselves during this Lenten season are, what is it that tests my identity as a child of God? What are the things that cause you to turn away from God? And think about what those things are, because until you name them, you can't really do anything about it. So what is it that draws you away from God? What are some ways that I can go about my life that remind and affirm my identity as a child of God? Well, the confirmation students know almost always one good answer is pray, right? So that's one thing that you can do, but there are many things. An act of kindness. You can go out of your way to help someone. You can do something anonymously to help somebody. There are many things that we can do that will affirm us and remind us of our identity as a beloved child of God. And then we ask ourselves, what are some practices that can turn me back toward God and help me to live into my vocation as a child of God? These are not easy questions. Each one of them we could spend weeks discussing. But as you think about that, I want you to remember a couple of things. First, Jesus has already defeated the devil. Yes, in the wilderness, and all through his ministry there were temptations, but most profoundly in his death and resurrection. And evil hasn't given up, departs until an opportune time. God's kingdom has already come near in and through Jesus in the past, and the kingdom of God is not yet complete. So maybe Lent is this intentional time to think about what it means to live in between times, to live in between what has happened and what we are expecting to happen. The revelation of God's kingdom and the fullness of God's kingdom. Trusting in God's promise and expecting that in this in-between times, the kingdom of God does break in. We can live in gratitude for those glimpses that show themselves to us during this in-between time. And we can live expecting that there is going to be a time when the kingdom of God comes to its fullness. So as you ponder all of this, I want you to remember and hear the call of John the Baptist to repent. In other words, turn yourself toward God and toward God's purposes for your life. Not saying, my repenting is not about saying, I was speeding on my way to work and I broke the law. That's not. We're not doing that moralistic thing. It's about turning yourself, your entire being and everything you do and say toward God. We can learn from Jesus and lean into God's mercy and grace for the love and support that we need to live in this in-between times. And we need to remember that divine power is not the same as worldly power. Remember that you are a child of God. You are beloved, and that you can depend on the faithfulness of God and the power of the Holy Spirit. And remember to fix your gaze on Jesus and listen for the help and guidance that you long for, not from the outside world, not from all of these things that we hear out in the public square. Listen for help and guidance as you practice your vocation as a beloved child of God.